When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, here we go. We're going old school. No video today. Apologize for some scheduling difficulties for everybody. We can blame me. We just want to blame me. We'll just blame me. I got to go to Kansas tomorrow.
Oh.
I'm recording this. It's Wednesday. It's Wednesday, November 2nd. I'm going to KU tomorrow. The defending national champs, your Kansas Jayhawks.
That's right.
Got their first exhibition game on TV. It is wild. The one thing that I feel like I am so lucky and different from everybody in that, like, for you, like, everybody that the people that you committed to at Nebraska aren't there, and then, like, everybody's different down there.
Yeah. Yep.
At Kansas now, it's Bill Self, still the head coach, the trainer, Bill Calgo, still the trainer,
guy. Yeah,
academic coordinator, Scooter, still there, assistant coaches, Coach Townsend, still there, Norm Roberts, still there. Joe Dooley, another assistant when I was there, he has come back. Jeremy Case, probably my best friend at Kansas there for a few years, is back on staff. Like, everything, like, I'm going to go to Allen Fieldhouse tomorrow and walk in, and it might as well be 2004.
See, that's great, though. Isn't that great? Because, like, then it just, like, it's still home then, you know?
Yes. And so sometimes I feel bad. And then at Creighton, it's like, yes, there's been one coaching change. But a lot of the same – now, like, Bruce Rasmussen is retired, so things are starting to change a little bit.
But the administration kept pretty
much the same. And so, like, it's always – I wonder what that experience is like for a lot of people, where it's like where they – how when they played, the people that were there are no longer there.
It so helps to have that consistency. I mean, in Nebraska, some of the same people in the building were there. But yeah, like, the true, like, football people, most of them have changed multiple times.
Right.
You know, where it's like, because every staff then changes, usually, like, associate athletic directors and, you know, all the support people can sometimes change there, too.
Even like the secretary at Kansas basketball, still there.
Yeah.
Like, all those kinds of things.
Yeah.
Like, it's just nuts. By the way, shout out to GoCurrency for helping this coffee pod become a reality for us. We're drinking coffee. It's 10 o'clock in the morning. We got a lot to get into today. We're going big shock. We're going Mickey Joseph heavy stuff today.
That's the only story right now, because it is, I'm still, like, I still don't know what to think, Nick. I'm still in a state of, Keep going. I think I know where you're going with this,
we got a lot. I mean, we're going to get into. I teased it. I said that Ross Dellinger Sports Illustrated article was coming.
Yep.
That dropped. I want to get into some of the stuff with that. But real quick, I guess where you're going with it, I'll start there. That, like, you know, you're sitting there going, I don't know how to feel. I don't know what to think. Here's the thing that is crazy to say out loud, is there still is this feeling, at least for me, that you think, like, oh, there's still a lot of time in this coaching search. It's like, not really. Think about the fact that, like, the season is over in 23 days. 4 weeks from today, you would imagine that there probably has already been a press conference to announce whoever the next head coach is.
Yeah.
And so I said this to you before we turn on the mics. Like, I actually think that if we don't hear from Trev Alberts over the next 2 weeks, that will signal to me that Mickey Joseph isn't the guy. Do you agree with that?
Okay.
Disagree with that? What do you think?
So let me get clarification. When you say hear from Trev, you're saying
if it's
going to be Mickey, Trev, it's in his best interest to announce that to the world in the next 2 weeks. Do you think that would be the strategy if it is Mickey?
Yes, like if he feels like Mickey's the guy, which what's weird to kind of say is that, like, Trev probably has all the information that he could possibly gather in judging Mickey as an interim head coach to whether or not he thinks he's the guy or not. I mean, he's been watching him operate for now almost 2 months.
Yeah, I mean, he meets with him every week.
He's watched the day in and day out stuff.
He's been on the sidelines for games. I think that's probably right. Like, Mickey Joseph as the head guy, as leader of the room, you know, leading the meetings with coaches,
yes,
handling the press, dealing with head coach responsibilities. He's seen it up close for 2 months. You're probably right. That he probably can see generally. This is what Mickey, how he handles himself.
Right.
Correct? Okay. So that's good. He sees how Mickey recruits, which is a big part of it. Now, the only thing maybe he, you know, hasn't seen is like, what is Mickey with his own guys and, you know, own players and own coaches, right?
And here's the thing, it's like he can't, there's no way to see that.
There's no way to see that.
What I'm saying is he's seen all he can, enough at this point of what he is possible to see.
Yes.
So, I don't know. I just, there's a, because the other thing, and I heard Mitch Sherman say this, do you really want to, like, his point was he thinks you maybe need to announce, if you're going to hire Mickey, you maybe want to announce it before the Michigan game, because we all probably know what's maybe going to go happen at Michigan. Like, do you want him to go get his, you know, get pounded at Michigan and then announce it? Like, I just don't, I mean, if you feel like he's the guy.
I think it's about recruiting. It's,
and that's a part of it too.
Yeah, like, it's a recruiting strategy. If it's going to be Mickey, I think showing support earlier than later is probably the right move.
Right.
Like, if you know, if Trev's like, I've seen what I need to see, I've looked around, I think Mickey gives us the best chance. If that's Trev's vision, I think it does him a favor to announce it, like you say, or in a week or so. Like,
that's kind of,
give him time to then finish the recruiting cycle and try to build something at the end of the year. So I think that's probably right.
The way you phrased the question made me kind of like, where you're like, is it in Trev's best interest to announce it now? When you frame it like that, it's like, I don't know if I'm comfortable saying yes to that. I just, in my mind this whole time, I just have a hard time feeling like the season plays out, Black Friday comes, the weekend goes through, and then on Monday, Trev goes to the podium and like, I'm happy to announce that I'm removing the interim tag and Mickey Joseph is the head coach. Like, I would think, I just, in my mind, and this is maybe flawed logic, I just would have thought that if Mickey's going to be the guy, it's going to get announced before the end of the season.
The hard part is this, is so, I mean, it's like, unless you've ever done a coaching search, which none of us have.
Right.
The amount of, like, that process, how long does that go? Like, if you're trying to get, let's just, for the sake of this conversation, let's pretend it's less about Mickey and it's about other people.
Okay.
Trying to navigate that with coaches during their season, you know, with wins and losses, like we've seen with some of these top candidates, are like, they're not necessarily winning like,
right,
they had been when they were, you know,
like when you first talked to Matt Campbell, yeah, or Lance Leipold in September, things look different now.
Yeah. So like, is there an ebb and flow there? Is there, you know, are these agents, you know, stuck on certain, you
parts
know, negotiating
contract,
points, and like, how much work, how long does that take? Or does it happen fast when you know? Like, if you find the guy and you say, we want you, what's it going to take? Like, is that something that happens in 2 days?
I think it can, in theory.
Or is this like a true, like, month-long process or 2 months of, like, negotiating? Like, I don't know how. I got to think it kind of happens fast. Like, when you say, we kind of want you, it's either, like, don't you just say, I think that's a place for me, or I'm happy here. Like,
right.
This isn't going to work. Or, you know, like, I got to think it would go faster than it would slower once you've kind of declared.
Yes,
almost, right.
I would agree with that. I would think that things. I would think things nowadays, coaching searches and hirings move way quicker than they used to. I mean, back in the day when your signing period wasn't until February or signing day wasn't until February, you could have waited till the end of the season, taken a little bit of your time, and it was no problem. Like, again, if you're hiring Dave Aranda or Lance Leipold or whatever, like, this needs to get announced fast.
But the problem with it, if it's not, They got their schools that they're probably.
That's all, I guess what I say fast. I mean, like, their season's over.
Yes,
and I'm talking like the next day it's announced.
It basically you have to do that now with the early signing.
With transfer portal and early signing period, you have to do that.
Yeah,
and so that's what I'm getting at. I just maybe I'm wrong. I guess for me, I'm just trying to. I wrote that down because I'm like everybody right now. I think is in this mode of like, well, there's still time, and
I don't know.
I don't think there is a lot of time now. Like at any moment over the next 2 weeks, it would not shock me if it is Mickey. If there's an announcement that it's Mickey. Now, of course, if it's not Mickey, we are not going to hear anything until the end of the season. Out of respect towards you're not going to announce anyone else that's a current head coach.
Yeah.
Until their season is done. But like, I'm trying to remember. Frost won the AAC conference championship game, and was it announced
I should know that, but I mean, don't.
I know I should know that
I'm
too.
I'm trying to remember
when it. I bet it was announced 2 days later.
Yeah, because it was. If I remember right, he was kind of on a whirlwind.
Yes,
first weekend because he had just won, and I think that there was, I think he have it pretty much in his mind that it was going to happen during that last game of theirs?
I think
so. And then it was like a whirlwind tour to get back to Nebraska and get the whole thing done.
Well, let's see here. Okay, so I'm looking at it here. Yeah, like according to this, I think this is true. He beat Memphis in the conference championship game on December 2nd. And I just Googled Scott Frost's introductory press conference. It was December 3rd.
That's why it was like he didn't get to sleep for Jamie. It was just like,
well, so that, I guess, but that's a window into like how fast this stuff could, like how fast this stuff could move.
Yeah. That, see, this is the part. Yeah. When you're talking about, okay, we got 23 days left in the season, right?
Before, right.
You know,
so I'm saying, like, think about that. So 21 days is the 23rd. 24th is Thanksgiving. 25th is Black Friday. In theory, there could be a press conference on the Saturday, November 26th.
I think the 26th would be the last day that we don't have a coach.
Right.
I can't imagine with Mickey Joseph as the interim, with the momentum he's got, that they're going to go into December and be like, we're still looking.
No, you can't.
You know what I'm saying? We're still
And
we're,
I think it looks bad on Trev. Like, you've had since September 11th to figure this out. So I'm just bringing that up for people, like, buckle up. Like, it's happening.
Well, and I think the Mickey thing also is like where Trev's at with other candidates. Like, Mickey puts pressure on that. Like,
right.
If it's not a absolute yes, it's probably a no because Mickey's sitting there, right? Like, Mickey forces it to be like, you have to know that's a better guy because you got Mickey.
Yes.
You know, or like a more proven guy that's like, oh, it has to be obvious because Mickey makes anything that's not obvious way harder to do.
All right, Nick Bob Podcast is powered by H&H Automotive. I want to tell you about the Onyx dealership in Omaha, located at 150th and Dodge. Onyx won the Best of Omaha number one luxury car dealer award. How about that? You win the Best of Omaha, you do your thing. Offering the industry-leading brands like BMW, Jaguar, and Land Rover. I was looking at the Onyx website. In fact, I pulled it up right here. I'm not going to lie, Bo Rude. I think a white Range Rover is kind of my dream car.
Is it?
Isn't that, like, to me, it's just a beautiful car. Like, it's a beautiful looking car, and I've never been inside of one, and I'm looking at it right now. The interior looks incredible inside. But speaking of other, so I said Land Rover, they got Jaguar. Didn't your mom, I loved your mom's BMW. That thing seemed like a smooth car.
They're super smooth. I also have a friend that has one, a current one, and they're roomy too. Like, they're extremely roomy. And as a guy who, like, I rode your back seat, like the knee room, I was blown away by.
You're right. Your mom's car was big. For not a big SUV type of thing. Like, It was a big sedan,
but yes. Now they have sedans and the SUV Beamers. But
yes,
man, dude, hey,
BMW is fantastic. Your boy, one day I'll be in a white Range Rover. Okay, just one day it's going to happen.
So
for
that's
me.
Dream.
You understand?
Car. Okay,
that's the dream car for me. How about this? You want another reason to go there? Onyx offers a bottle of wine with any vehicle purchase. I swear to God, that's true.
So you're telling us we do a wine pod and they offer bottles of
wine? I'm just telling you.
I think we need to go there, Nick.
Just telling you that's what happens, okay? You can experience it for yourself at 150th and Dodge or online at onyxautomotive.com. That's onyxautomotive.com. Drive Onyx, the new standard. You know what I was thinking about? And this isn't, I got to make sure I phrase this right. And by the way, Mickey Joseph's press conference yesterday, he said that Casey Thompson's still day-to-day, the nerve thing in his elbow. I would say the line is Minnesota's favored by 16, so that would tell me that Casey's probably – Vegas thinks Casey's not going to play.
Vegas has a guy in the locker room like
they know.
Mopping yes. up the floors like, I'm just a local Nebraskan. Hey,
he's got
you
an earpiece in. Like, Casey Thompson in street clothes, icing
hey,
elbow.
Casey, that looks like, painful like, over yes. there. Right? Huh? You
know, that's what. Seriously,
some guy with the fake mustache and glasses.
I always wonder what those –
mopping the floor –
because, like, I have, I've had moments where, like, you know, I interviewed, like, a Vegas guy on my radio show all the time. And there's been times he's tried to, like, text me, like, hey, what are you hearing about XYZ with, like, Nebraska football? And maybe, like, I couldn't imagine that, like, I would be his source. But you always wonder, like, how Vegas, like, you know, who, everybody says like Vegas knows. It's like, well, how do they know? Because everybody's got to be plugged in to somewhere. Like, who would be Nebraska's like leak to?
I think there's probably, you know, the major, let's look at all the major sports teams, right? Vegas probably has 50 people at each school that they sort of are getting little pieces of information at, right? Like, they must have just like, all right, you're the guy that's in charge in the end of all Nebraska information. Or here's your couple. Maybe they, and they just have people.
I just always wonder that because, you know,
right?
Everybody
like they just
got to
have people.
You know, there's these phrases you say and you've never really thought of, like, Vegas knows. It's like, well, hold on. How do they know? Like,
because
I do think they know, but you go, how do they know?
I'm totally speculating. I have no idea, and I'm going to think about it for the first time right now. But if I'm gambling and my job is to bet on the Big Ten, I think I would spend most of my time trying to network with the people in the know in the and at each school, and then you're getting information like, oh, that this quarterback, dude, him and his girlfriend or this girlfriend's
right.
crazy,
right.
And he's always out. You kind of start going, oh, this guy, like, you start forming these opinions that are different than just like the basic newspaper clippings, right?
Right.
Like when you start getting that inside information, I think Vegas gets a lot of that.
They must.
On top of just knowing all the analytics, all the stuff that
for
Vegas
sure.
does so well. I think they pair that with like
intel.
Our 10 insiders at Ohio State tell us this.
Because so the reason I brought that up is like Casey's day to day, who knows if he's going to play. Like I said, the line would indicate he's probably not going to play. I wonder if in some ways Casey's injury, it kind of clears the runway for Trev in a lot of different ways. Like, if it's not going to be Mickey, Casey being out probably makes it easier for it to not be Mickey because Nebraska's probably going to limp to the finish line here.
Yeah.
If it is going to be Mickey and you want to do it, and we're subscribing to my school of thought of like you want to announce it early, you probably can do that easier now because like there's an under. I think everybody understands if Mickey or if Casey's out, like this isn't going to go well. So you might as well, like, if you're going to hire Mickey, there's no sense in letting the games unfold and get crushed.
Yeah.
You know, like Casey's injury, you know, like Mickey's line that he's given a couple times is like, you know, it's not our decision. It's not my decision, but I can make it tough on him.
Yeah.
I feel like Casey's injury makes it so like now the games become like, what are you going to do? Like,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, we'll see. I mean, with this team, you can never. They've always kind of done the opposite of what we think they're going to do. So, like, I'm still like, you know, we'll see how they do. Let's think about this. If Mickey loses every game from here on out, that's a really that's a harder sell than,
right,
I think, for Mickey. It is.
But that, in some ways, that's why I almost think you have to announce it
early.
Soon.
And say, hey, look, at this point,
listen, and things aren't good. Part of like, listen, I believe so much in what I've seen behind the scenes, yeah, Monday through Friday over the course of the last 2 months that Mickey Joseph is the guy. We understand that we've dealt with injuries and everything that's happened this year has greatly impacted what has happened from a win-loss standpoint. I'm not worried about that. What I am concerned about and what I've been very pleased with is what I've seen, blah, 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 you know, like, yeah, from, yeah, Mickey. Like, I think that's how you package it now.
But isn't that get harder if you wait till December to say that?
That's why
what if we lose the next four,
which
if
I think we is more lose. Likely than not. I think it's more likely of all the scenarios to play out. I think the most, if Casey's out, which I think he probably is, the most likely record in these final four games to me is 0-4.
God, with Kate, it seems hard that we're going to win without Casey. It does. It, yes, seems hard. But doesn't Mickey got to win one of these games to get the, I mean, can you lose six in a row and then get the job?
Probably not on its head, but like, I think we all know that this situation is very,
it's so weird. It's so weird that he's gotten this long, you know, like, he's going to get 9 games,
right,
as the head coach. So, it's such a unique situation with the early firing of Frost. Like, that's where it's like if Mickey came in and was the last, it's like if you wanted it to be Mickey, you know, it's like I can understand why they did it if they wanted it to be Mickey, but it's like because it potentially doesn't end well this season. I don't know. I don't know if that makes it just that much harder or if you can just tell the tale like, look, this is the right guy.
Right.
We figured that. We needed to figure it out by giving him the keys to the car. He's shown us enough in terms of behind the scenes. Now we want to give him a chance to do it his way.
Yeah. That's why, again, listen to us. Like,
we're talking,
I don't even know if we're making any sense.
I don't know if we are. But it's such a, it's, but the best point you made is, it's 23 days.
I guess that's what I'm saying. Like,
and it might be less. It might be half that.
There's just been this feeling, at least for me, that like there's, though, that's a ways down the road, and it's really not.
If it's going to be Mickey and they beat Minnesota, announce it the next day.
Yeah,
you know, like, well, win a game, announce it, and be like,
and be
all
done.
Right,
all right, we're done with it. You better seize any good positive win and moment and announce it then. But I don't. Again, my gut tells me like I don't think it's going to be Mickey, but who the hell knows at this point?
It's weird. I think we both talked to some people outside of the state of Nebraska, and people outside Nebraska are more surprised that Mickey is this.
Yes.
So I think the people, how much we love like a Nebraska guy, and Mickey's a Nebraska guy, I think that's the part where people that step away from us go, what? Well, don't you have to hire a proven coach?
Right.
And I think we fall into the, like, but we really like this guy. You know, well, like,
and I think you also, you know, you get caught up in your own bubble here.
Yeah.
And Mickey Joseph's a huge deal in this bubble.
It
outside
is.
Outside of this bubble, I think the general reaction, and now Trev can't worry about the general reaction of the public at large, but I would think like if Nebraska were to hire Mickey, like if they were to announce Mickey's the guy, people outside of this bubble would be like, what?
I think so. So that you're talking about the Sports Illustrated article,
yes.
Right? So this, I read it. It was a good article.
It was a good article.
I don't think we learned a ton of new things, but I really enjoyed it because I, you know, for me, it was like, you know, revisiting some of his journey.
He's got an amazing coaching journey.
It is. And, you know, the fact that like the connections he has with these, with people in Louisiana, New Orleans specifically, it's incredible. Like, you know, they're talking about, you know, Ogeron. They're like, hey, man, you're not as popular as Mickey Joseph is in this city. Right. And that's like, whoa. Like, so for me, though, one of the things that kind of started creeping into my mind is like, I'm seeing what Deion's doing down in Jackson State. And, you know, Deion's not a traditional like head football coach.
No.
But, you know, Deion, like, understands football well, even though he might not be, like, Mr. X's and O's. He's, like, got football instincts guy, right? But he's also, like, to connect with kids.
Right.
In this day and age, especially, like, I mean, like, you go to the recruiting hotbeds, like, to be able to go there and recruit and connect with kids and demand respect in a way that only certain guys can do it that way, right? I think that's where Mickey is on this. Like, to me, there's this new era of college football coaches. And it's like, is it going towards the Mickey Josephs? The guys that have a special gift with the kids versus like, this is the X's and O genius. Right.
Or the my way or the highway hard ass coach.
Yeah. Like Urban's probably.
Or like Saban.
Saban's you know, that. Like, but Saban, yeah, I mean. Those guys are...
Saban's pretty good at connecting, but I think you understand my point. Like,
it's less about the personal connection as it is like the ultimate football training camp almost, right? Where it's all about football, where Mickey's is, it's more about life. It's like...
Right.
He has a gift. Like, they talk about, you know, Hurricane Katrina happens and like 70 kids, he's like, I got you all.
Transplants like, them, and they go. Like,
it is a unique. He is a unique person in terms of that gift, and I'm wondering: is college football leaning towards the coaches that can do that, that can bring the kids in and command respect? That's more important than like proven ability to. You know, do this schematically and program build, which is the traditional, like you want the best program builder in that sense.
Yeah.
His is way more personal with the kids. That's where I don't know. I don't know what the right answer is, but that article made me start thinking like, is that where it's going? I don't know.
I agree. And one of the things that Mickey has a unique combination of is, I can't remember if this was off air or on air. We were talking about, most of the time, when you think of the hot shot assistant coach recruiter, they're not the disciplinarian.
Yeah.
They're almost more like buddy-buddy, chummy-chummy with with the players. Whereas Mickey somehow has both. Like, he is the hot shot recruiter, but also I think... He's more of a disciplinarian with them than.
But see, that to me is why, if he was just the recruiter,
right, I would go,
and
come
not
on.
The disciplinarian, I wouldn't consider him for a head coaching job. I would say, guys, let's not even talk.
Come on, man, we're not hiring a buddy here.
That like, is why when I say, is the future like best head coaches? Do they have that combination?
Yes.
And I think that's what is so intriguing about Mickey. He has that combination.
Yes.
I don't know what, you know, his football mind is for, you know, here's the systems I want. Here's the coaches and here's how I coach my coaches. That part is a big component of being a head coach.
Right.
And it's always been. So I just don't know where he is with that, but I know he seemingly has the other things, which are so intriguing.
Yes. You could build a case for him being like, he is the future of college football coaching, that model.
And I think that's what Nebraska fans are seeing, that they're like, wow, God, this guy, he's bringing in these guys and he's demanding these things of these big time players. I think that's what's intriguing. I think that's why Nebraska fans are going, do we got something here? Like, I think it's, I like that Nebraska fans at least are having that little itch scratch going like, ooh, I think, do we have this? Is this the guy? So that's the thing that Trev has such a hard, he's got to be the one that can decipher that.
I don't know if this is totally true, but I do think there's something to, like, I've always kind of subscribed to the school of thought that at Nebraska, you got to be a little different.
Yeah.
You got to be a little, you got to be cutting edge. You got to be ahead of the curve.
Bingo. And bingo.
For a long time, it was the strength and, you know, the strength and conditioning stuff with Boyd Epley and stuff. Nebraska was ahead of the curve. I even think with their offense, the option, they were different.
Yep.
Like, Nebraska was ahead of the curve for a long time. And then it seemed like Nebraska tried to be like everybody else. Mm-hmm. And it didn't work. Could the hiring of Mickey Joseph actually be ahead of the curve?
That's what you want to do. I was talking to somebody about this. We were talking about investing. I was talking to Stu Bradley about investing.
Yes.
And I told him this because I was reading a book. A great investor, his name is Howard Marks, and he says the two things you got to do to be a great investor is you got to think differently. You got to be contrarian and you got to be right. Those two things, right. Contrarian and right.
Yep.
Both very, very hard to do. And it's almost no different with this situation. Like, to be contrarian, it's hard to think differently. That's one. It's very hard to do that. To be right, that's even harder. So you got to do those two things right if you're going to do that. So Trev's got to be like, if he's going to think differently with Mickey, okay. Like, that's hard to do.
Better be right, though.
But you got to be right, too. So those are the two parts of that that's like, it's really hard to think differently.
It really is. But, yeah, as we kind of talk this out, there's a part of me that feels like maybe hiring Mickey, Nebraska becomes one of the first coaches where, like, we brought up Deion in Jackson State. That's an extreme example because Deion's maybe one of the five best football players to ever live.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so that's a different thing, but it's that model. I think Dabo Swinney was a little like this.
Yeah.
But maybe the hiring of Mickey is like, we got to be different at Nebraska. Mickey's a different kind of head coach, one in which that is perfect for 2022. You got to be, windshield, not rearview mirror as you're thinking about things here. So
it's weird. Like, you hear him, and I know it's, you know, these are our, you know, it's like, this is maybe a little bit of hype. I'm hyping right now, right? But the guy absolutely recruits. I mean, he believes in getting players in a way that I've never seen a coach talk about and execute at Nebraska. I've never seen a guy go do it. Maybe John Blake. John Blake's the only guy that I've seen that could, like, get the guys.
Right.
But I've never seen somebody able to do what Mickey's doing in terms of, like, that's the attitude. And I think the attitude of, like, we got to compete against Ohio. Like, his mindset. Well,
I think it's interesting because I don't know what. So here are a couple of quotes that in a staff meeting. This was in a staff meeting. There's a quote in the SI.com article from Ross Dellinger. People can go read it. In a staff meeting, Mickey said, and I can cuss because it's a podcast here. He said, quote, "We need fucking players. I've never seen a bad coach with good players, and I've never seen a good coach without players." Then he goes on to say, "You got to recruit your ass off. This isn't in a staff meeting. This is a different quote. But he goes, quote, "You got to recruit your ass off. We ain't chasing Iowa, Minnesota, and Wisconsin. We are chasing Ohio State." The Nick Bob Podcast is powered by Runza. You know, there are a lot of ways to greet someone. Hey, hi, hello, what's up? Another way is, what's popping? Well, here's the thing. That greeting has taken on a new meaning now because the answer to what's popping is now Runza's new popcorn chicken. That's what's popping. Runza's new popcorn chicken is amazing. Little, bite-sized, delicious, all white meat chicken that make any day better immediately. I love them. My wife loves them. My kids cannot get enough. Two-year-old Mac, six-year-old Mava are constantly wanting to get it popping. Great for a snack, great for a meal. Pair them with the best crinkle fries on planet Earth, and you are set. All I got to say is you need to get out to a Runza location nearest you and get it popping. What's so hard to understand about that? Get it popping with Runza's all-new popcorn chicken. Runza makes it all better. I read that quote, and I'll be honest, it hit me, and I was like, ooh, I don't know what I think of that quote.
I liked it. I liked it because I think when he's saying that, he's saying we need to chase Ohio State in terms of the players we're getting, right?
Yes.
And that doesn't mean you're going to get the exact level, but the closer you can get to that is what you want to shoot for, rather than like, if we're chasing Iowa, we've downgraded our expectations drastically.
Yeah, I think like
we dominated Iowa in recruiting for forever. It's been a 2 or 3 year window that Iowa can like keep the Iowa guys that they want versus us. That's a downgrade for us. Right. And I like that he is raising the expectations.
I don't disagree with that, but at the same time, Nebraska has recruited at a higher level than all of those schools.
Maybe. But,
and the reason they're losing isn't because of... Now, what's hard is like there's what the recruiting rankings say, and then there's what the field says. So there's a disconnect there.
Yeah.
And the disconnect is coaching and development and retention and all those sorts of things.
I think evaluation is underestimated too.
Agree.
I think we're getting stars, and the stars are not the, you know, before this we were talking about intangibles with basketball
yes.
players. We were just having yeah. a long talk about, but like, I think the intangibles, we've missed on a lot of intangibles
right.
with our stars.
Agreed.
We've gotten stars. The stars have not carried intangibles with them. It's been hype stars, versus like, we got dudes that are football players, that are winners, that are, I think a lot of that is evaluation. We don't want to underestimate development for sure. That's a big, but I
yeah.
think that combination of, right, what it's evaluation, development, retention.
Yes.
Three parts. I think that's, we've missed on a good chunk of them.
Agree. So, but it's just hard when you say that, and that would insinuate that like the reason you're losing to Iowa, Minnesota, and Wisconsin is because of recruiting.
No. That's not why we've lost.
And so that's why I disagree with it.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, like there's nothing wrong with like, to a certain extent, setting your sights on like the top dog. But at the same time, like, I'm trying to think, like, you know, we talk about that bubble. Let's get outside of the bubble for a second. You understand this quote? This would be like the new head coach at Kansas, Lance Leipold, last year saying, we ain't chasing West Virginia, Kansas State, and Iowa State. We're chasing Texas and Oklahoma. It would be like, well, you guys are the bottom feeder of the Big 12. Like, you need to, like, walk before you run. Like, and what's hard is, like, I think you can do both. Like you can chase Ohio State, but you better like in the meantime, like understand. I just think it's maybe a little misguided on like why you've lost to those teams. Like you're losing to those teams. Yeah. You better understand why. And I think it was that I wanted to pull it up, but I forgot. Chattel had a quote in his column that I thought was like actually kind of hit it pretty good on like, basically saying, like, Nebraska's arrogance over the years has been thinking that recruiting solves everything.
Yeah, like the our entitlement
and yeah, recruit we,
and our recruiting. Yeah, that
I'm
was
trying to find it. Like, I saw that and I was like, he's not
was,
wrong, because there has been this feeling where it's like, well, just go recruit. It's all, you just got to go. Recruiting will solve it all, and it's like, ah, there's much more to the equation in that. And at the same time, if Mickey were here, he'd probably be going, well, listen, I understand that, jackasses. This is just an isolated quote. You know, like, well, I understand that.
But that's where I'm like, I'm trying to keep in perspective. Like, I'm trying to keep, like, yeah, we got to do Here's the thing. Every team that wins has to do everything really well, right? You gotta be good in X's and O's. You do gotta be like tough, disciplined. You gotta have a philosophy that works with where you're at and where you can recruit. But then you also gotta get player. Like all those things have to happen. I mean, dude, it's hard to win in today's athletics. I think though that, like I said, the part to me that is the easiest band-aid to put on is like, just because we've seen like, well, when you bring in Casey, Trey Palmer, Anthony Grant, like we upgraded tremendously with a couple of players, right?
You and I have been talking about that.
Like that's the part where I go, all right, like I do think like it's a lot easier to start doing the other things right when you got really good players that can do those things kind of naturally, that the worst players really, I mean, to me, it's like O and D line. Like if we could figure out a way to upgrade there.
Right.
I think you'd see some big changes on the field and everything would start getting easier instead of harder. So there's a lot to it. I think maybe I'm guilty, but this whole article kind of re-sparked the like, all right, it's intriguing, cutting edge,
being different.
Is this the right contrarian? Is this the right contrarian thinking with Mickey? And that's so it. Just I don't know. It started me down that path, but I don't know for sure. I just think it's worth really looking hard at.
So to expand on that, like I got Chattel's column on it, and I was going to talk about this too, but I'll just read. It's just like a couple of sentences from Chattel's column, and this will kind of spring us into, because it's a bunch of different things he puts. Are Joseph and Albert's on the same page? Joseph is correct about recruiting, but his words may not score points with the athletic director, and it makes you wonder if Joseph truly understands what Trev Alberts wants in Nebraska football. Alberts is adamant about building a program that develops and consistently wins battles with its more physical rivals. You know, those schools that beat Nebraska every year. To Alberts' thinking, Nebraska has gotten where it is now, near the bottom, by embracing entitlement and an approach that recruiting fixes all problems. Until further evidence, Nebraska isn't just chasing Iowa, Wisconsin, and Minnesota. There's Illinois and Purdue, too.
Yeah.
So I think the one thing that I wrote down was, I do think to a certain extent, do you remember there are certain dating games? I don't know if it was the Newlywed Game or Singled Out, and they're like, all right, Travis, your ideal date would be what? Like, man, I think, you know, bowling and a movie is cool. Like, all right, Stacey, what's your ideal date? Like, I want to go to a show and like seeing if they're compatible, right?
Yeah.
I wonder if in this dating game, like Trev, whenever he's talked about the job, he has said things like, quote, we need to be the premier development program in the Midwest. Perhaps we've lost our way in our absolute commitment to elite development. You contrast that then on this dating game. Mickey, what do you think Nebraska needs? Tell us. You'd be like, we need fucking players. I've never seen a bad coach with good players. You got to recruit your ass off. We ain't chasing Iowa. We're chasing Ohio State.
Yeah.
Like, do those two things... Like, are they told? I wonder if, like, I get the sense that Mickey thinks recruiting is, if you talk to Mickey, he would say the biggest thing this place needs is an infusion of better recruiting. And I think if you talk to Trev, I think he would say the biggest thing this place needs is a foundation of a build of, like, elite development, elite player evaluation, like, that. I just don't know. That was the only thing, because it was Chattel's comment made me go, like, I don't know if they're speaking exactly the same language.
They might not. I mean, you kind of need both, right? If you want to be an elite program, you got to have both. I mean, even going back in that week, because we always say, you know, we're going to look at the previous staff and go, man, they just weren't good or something. But like, they took the right from the Riley years to the Frost years. There was like a big jump in culture and development. And I mean, you could see it, like our defense immediately looked like
more physical. Yes.
Like we looked like a more physical team compared to the
Riley
years. Yeah. Right. So, And people around the office said, man, it's like, it's a different, they work hard. I mean, they work hard. That's the part that I still think you got to give credit to Frost, even though people are kind of like, they want to move. Like Frost teams, they worked, they did the right things in the offseason. They worked hard. I just think that maybe there was some things missing, right? There's clearly some things that they weren't seeing, that weren't getting done
right.
in a lot of areas. So to me, that's where it's like, I think it is about getting the right guys, about evaluation, development, and I think the focus on physical play, about the O&D lines, that's the part that we've never gotten back. Like, we have not gotten back for years and years, is like O&D lines being dominant. And I think that's the part where Trev's a former defensive lineman,
right?
I think him and Mickey aren't that far off. I just think they come from, one's a quarterback that was the highest recruit ever, he's a defensive lineman, black shirt. Like, if you can meld those, that's not such a bad thing. But they are going to be speaking a little bit because they're just come from different places.
Well, and you got to remember where Mickey comes from, too, and just being in the SEC. The SEC is world.
Go get dudes.
You better go get four or five. You better get some five-star top 10 classes. Whereas the Big Ten, and particularly the Big Ten West, is much, it's just a different world. So I also think, like, he's coming in and he's still, like, I do think he still has some of that SEC mindset, which isn't necessarily a terrible thing, but you better not lose sight of what it takes to win against, like, beating Ole Miss and beating Illinois or Iowa are probably two different things.
Well, it's a little bit different style of play, and I guess here's what I'll say is the same. The SEC and the Big Ten, I think they have the best coaches in college football by a long shot.
Right.
So as long as Mickey could get absolute the best coaches in there at each of the spots,
right?
That's the part where there's development and
the
football is sound, whatever the, you know, and it's got to, we got to find a philosophy that's going to work here, but you got to get the dudes. Either way, I think you do got to get the dudes.
Here's what's hard for me is, like, I feel like I'm hypocritical and talking out of both sides of my mouth with some of this stuff, because you and I have turned on the mics over the last 4 or 5 years and we've talked about how, like, Nebraska needs an infusion of elite talent. They need more Trey Palmers, more Randy Gregorys, more Amir Abdullahs. Like, there's something real to that. But I'll be honest, like, if Mickey's the guy that's hired, like, I can get behind it, because I can get behind the whole idea of, like, in 2022, what we've talked about recruiting, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
But I'm at the point where, like, I feel like what this job needs is more of, like, a grinder, builder, developer.
Well, that's the dude from Kansas State's probably a good example of that, right?
That's where, like, I would say I'm a little bit more, like, I just look at all of, like, I don't think, based on what you're, like, I don't know if Frost was that. I think Frost is more of just, like, he wants to score and just all that stuff. Yeah. Like, I don't think Riley was a grinder, builder, developer. Bo Pelini.
Defensive guy, but...
but he just was... it was his first head coaching gig. It's hard to kind of peg him on what he was there, you know?
Like, yeah, he's kind of a unique bird with how...
with how to label him.
Yeah, because he won, and he almost won championships, but would just sort of was...
there's
maybe not... maybe, like, could have recruited... A little bit better. That's probably his...
because I definitely think as the years went on, the recruiting slipped. And then you obviously, Bill Callahan came from the NFL. That they got dudes, but there just was, like... I don't know how you... I mean, obviously you would... yeah. I wouldn't necessarily describe Bill Callahan as, like, a grinder, builder, developer.
Not a college guy.
He's not a college guy in that way.
He was a pro coach, didn't really fit into the college world.
So I say all that to say, like... I'm actually more inclined to gravitate towards a grinder, builder, developer than a hotshot recruiter at this point.
Yeah. That's fair. And Mickey hasn't proven that he's a grinder builder
right.
as much as he is the recruiter connector. Like, he's the player connector recruiter. He's never proven, can I – maybe he could
maybe
build.
Maybe he could. I just don't know.
Maybe he could build right. and grind. That might be the way to, like, there's grinder build and the best are do both.
Yes.
But –
because the reality
know.
Is you need both. It's not all what we've been acting like these things have to be at odds. Like, you're either all about recruiting or you're all about development yeah. and all that stuff. It's like, well, no, there has to be a combination.
I mean, Saban recruits his butt off, right?
Right. right.
And, you know, and they have these staffs.
And you got to coach those guys up.
And these staff, like these SEC schools, I mean, they have staffs of, I mean, have you seen like the staffs of like
yes.
Florida and Alabama? Right. They have like 100 people working on recruits. Like, holy crap.
Yes,
like,
it's a lot. So I just... I can totally understand the school thought, like we just laid out, on how Mickey is an attractive candidate because he's a unique one, and with all the changes with the transfer portal and NIL yeah. and just like kids these day and age, like how much it's different now. Maybe Mickey is the right guy, and I can get behind that. But my gut tells me I want
the builder.
I want the builder.
I think the builder grinder. And remember Trev's opening press conference. I want a grinder.
Yes.
He said that. So, I mean, I think Mickey is a grinder mentality.
I think he's a
grinder.
But
is he a builder?
Recruiter.
Is
That's
he a builder
know.
Grinder? Is he the system builder? Because the system is important. Can you build the system? This is how we do things every step of the way. Here's how my coaches coach. I know what they need to be doing and what they like. That's a lot on a head coach, right?
Right.
The greatest, the Sabans and the Belichicks, that's what they do the best. They, Urban Meyer, boom. They coach the coaches. They have a system. Things are done this way. Everybody in the building knows how it's done. There's no confusion. And I don't think many people do that well.
I just worry. Not worry. I sometimes... You don't necessarily want to be someone that thinks the solution is always in, well, just go get new players.
That's what Chattel was pointing out, right?
Chattel
was pointing out it's not just players. It's everything else, too.
We bring up Shark Tank all the time because we're older guys and we get into that world now.
Mr. Wonderful.
Mr. Wonderful. Like, but I think one of the things you hear from all those people that are just, you know, whether it's Robert, Damon, Barbara, Lori, Mark, like there's some entrepreneurs and some people that think the answer is just to go raise more money. Just go get more money. Just go get more money. Just go take out more money. Like,
that's very true.
And that's not the solution. Isn't always just go get more money. The solution is figuring out what's going wrong, like getting into the trenches of figuring out what is going wrong.
Why aren't the customers buying from you now?
Right.
Right.
Why have your sales dipped?
Yeah.
Why have all those kinds of things? Like,
it's not because you don't have enough money.
It's not because you need more money. It's because something's fundamentally wrong with what's going on with your business. And I worry when I hear, like, I worry that Mickey would be a guy that thinks the answer is always like, next, give me the next players, next guy. I just need, it's the solution is always players. And it's like, I don't know if that's always true either.
That's very,
so I'm just talking out loud real quick. I agree with you totally on, like, you and I were in lockstep. We were singing we were defending Frost throughout the years of, like, I think there was a discernible, completely obvious difference in the physicality of Nebraska's defense from day one when Frost took over.
Yep.
Which makes quotes like this so puzzling. Where Mickey, in this SI article, and we heard it be verified from guys like Miles Farmer and different things at the start of the year, where Mickey said, when he took over, quote, the first practice I announced that the 9-on-7 portion was live and they were shocked. What the hell happened with Frost? Like, Frost came in here and he was the guy that was shitting on Mike Riley and all. Oh, I can't believe how big of pusses they were. They weren't lifting. They weren't all this stuff.
Yeah.
And it was almost like over the years, did Frost get to where they were not? Like, what happened?
That'd be interesting to see, like, if there was a, you know, a slow slipping of that. But, I mean, there was a change. They made, like, I remember that we watched that first game in Colorado.
Yes,
we were like, oh, we're physical again.
Right.
We're physical again. I mean, everybody remembers, I think that first game where we were like, we were surprised by what we saw. So
right.
That's where, okay, I don't know, maybe things have drifted. Maybe just some of the guys we got, like,
that's now, what I don't know.
I'm now, just, like, I mean, so it's like the guys last year could tackle and the guys this year can't. So that's where it's like, you know, the whole like quotes about, well, we never tackle for 4 years. It's like, well, the guys last year could tackle and you guys can't tackle.
Yes,
so
no,
I think that's
right.
Half a player problem is like, okay, I think they definitely need to probably tackle more. I think you got to do football things till you're really good at football things. And I think sometimes maybe that can slip. So I don't know. We'll see if the next coach can come along and truly change things completely. But I also think that's part of our revisionist history. If we say, well, we just this group never did things right.
Right.
Never
and fit. I don't want to do all that. But
because
I'm just
we
so
know
curious.
That's not true.
Yeah, because we saw last year's team was physical. They did tackle.
Yeah.
And it's just weird. It's just weird. And then you see that quote real quick. You talk about like jarring from the jump. I got the Nebraska Colorado box score from Frost's first game in front of me. You want to take a guess how many sacks Nebraska had in that game?
Mm-mm.
Seven.
We had seven sacks.
You want to guess how many TFLs Nebraska had?
How many?
14.
Wow.
So, like, yes, there was, like, I remember, I think we did a recap part of that game, and I was like, there was a discernible, like, whoa, the defense is way more physical.
Yeah.
So that's why it's just weird to, it's weird to see that and then read quotes like, they've not been tackling. I don't know. It's weird. It's a weird deal.
It's where it's like, I think, part of the problem with the Frost era is it was unexplainable how we got so close and couldn't win so many times. Like it wasn't obvious that we were terrible.
Right.
It was very not obvious that we were bad.
Right.
That's the problem with the Frost era. The little things weren't adding up, like that we clearly weren't doing right to get the wins. That was more the problem than like we were obviously just terrible and not fit. Like, it took till part of this year where it was like, oh, things are going the opposite direction finally. But they were going seemingly, we were getting to the brink and not able to get over the hurdle. And we were all going, oh, we're so close. That's why we kept going for 4 years going, gosh, we're almost there, almost.
I just wonder, I can't wait to get like a, just if this, they just started not tackling in practice this year, or if, I find that hard to believe that they would just all of a sudden completely change how they practice.
Let me see, how many teams go live on 9-7?
You would know better than I would, too.
Almost none.
Right.
Everybody thuds up. Okay, maybe we weren't thudding up and we were just I think tagging teaches bad habits. I think you should thud up. I think you should tackle sometimes.
Right.
The amount of teams that do that consistently, Nick, there are not that many.
Right.
We always thudded, whether it was Frank Solich or Bill Callen. It's mostly thud up. Okay. 9-7's not taking to the ground ever, except for in fall camp for like, one. That's how most coaches do it because they're trying to not get people hurt. I think you just should tackle more because football, you tackle.
Right.
But they're always worried about getting people hurt.
All right. After I read this GoCurrency, we'll get into a story and a tweet that really raised my eyebrows yesterday. But first, I got to tell you about GoCurrency. Does your business need easy, competitive financing for trucks or equipment? Currency is here to help. Currency specializes in finding the best available rates and terms for construction equipment, farm machinery, trucks, and trailers. In fact, customers can get loans for up to $500,000 with little or no money down and terms for up to 72 months. Currency can also help if you're getting serious about buying a new or used motorhome, fifth wheel, or utility vehicle. Just fill out an application, and the Currency Finance team will get to work finding a lender with the most competitive options. It's quick, secure, and free to use. Currency is equipment financing made simple. Visit GoCurrency.com. For details. Offers may vary and arranged by Express Tech Financing, LLC, DBA, Currency pursuant to CFL license 60DBO-54873. Okay. Story broke yesterday from Sean Callahan of Husker Online that there has been contact between Mickey Joseph's representation and an entity directly tied to the Arizona State coaching search. So all of a sudden yesterday, it's like, whoa, little story, Mickey linked to Arizona State.
Yeah.
When I first saw this story, it could be a couple of things. My first thought was like, oh, this could be, there's a reason something like this gets out or it gets planted or whatever. Yeah. Could this be, you know, Mickey's agent, not saying necessarily Mickey's agent is like fabricating this, but like Mickey's agent leaking this or planting this to enhance the perception of Mickey?
Yeah. It puts a little bit more heat. It's sort of like the, oh, somebody else wants this guy. So, oh, we don't want to lose him to somebody. You know, it
right.
puts a little bit more of that in the air. But, yeah, I mean, I guess I'd just be surprised because most outsiders see Mickey as not as much of a head coach candidate, just in the sense of he's never been one. And, you know, he's never been a coordinator. So it's or at the major yeah. college level, right?
Yeah,
so.
I think a couple weeks ago we were talking about, well, what if Mickey does well enough to – he doesn't do well enough to get the job, but, like, what if a group of five school wants to hire him or an FCF school wants to hire yeah. him as head coach? Like, that was more so what I was thinking, not Arizona State. So
yeah, Arizona State, I mean, coming off the Herm Edwards thing – I don't know where they stand. They're kind of a unique school. I mean, Mickey, you know, he is a good, and to me, this is what you'd want. Like, if you're going to hire Mickey, you'd want him to be a guy that is worthy of getting Arizona State.
For sure.
Or a
you
school,
hope this is totally
or
real.
Or a better school, because in the end, like, I think you maybe phrased it as, you know, what would you pay Mickey? Like, in the, once you start talking about pay, like, if he's not a guy worth the, like, we're willing to pay $7 to $9 million for the best coach. And if Mickey's not worth 7 to 9, you go, well, shouldn't we find a coach that is of that value?
Yes.
And so that's where you start talking about the pay. So I think that's where, and maybe we just know more about Mickey because we, you know, we've gotten access to him, but you'd almost want, if he's a guy we actually are going to hire, we want other schools to want him.
For sure. I mean, I think the I've always said that the best truth serum and the greatest tell of value is the open market.
Yes.
Like, that's why when up until last year when Harbaugh popped through and went to the playoff and people were kind of, you know, I don't know about Jim Harbaugh, I'm like, let that dude hit the open market. Jim Harbaugh, it would take all of 5 seconds for
yep.
teams to be lining up.
Oh man.
You know, yeah. like, so it's the same thing with this kind of school of thought of like, okay, well, if Mickey Joseph hit the open market, what would the market be for him? It would be nice to think that there maybe are some other schools that are going after him, but yeah. I just, that was my first thought. I was like, okay, maybe they're trying to leak it to enhance the perception.
Probably. I mean, that,
or
you want that.
You wonder if Arizona State is thinking about the Joseph brothers. Vance Joseph is the defensive coordinator for the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah.
Could they be thinking like, well, there's Vance, maybe Mickey, like, I don't know. Those are my only two thoughts. Because it is it was surprising because yeah. it just, when we were talking about it, it was not what we were anticipating in terms of another school coming after this dude.
Yeah, Mickey's an interesting case, though, because, you know, his brother Vance basically said, like, we tried to hire him yeah. a bunch in the NFL,
right.
and he said no because he has a different mission almost. So
yes.
that's where Mickey, I was very impressed with that, is like the guy that turned down probably more money and more prestige to be like for what fits him, which is like he works with the kids.
I thought that was a really interesting quote too.
Because I
was
really
like, wow, I do too. Like, that's amazing that like that dude had an opportunity to jump, go with Vance, go to the NFL. And he's like, nah,
This is what I do.
I think
that's good. Cause like that's one, it's a special gift. And like, he's sticking with where his strength is.
By the way, real quick, you can be a grinder. You know, we talked about Mickey, but you can be a grinder, a recruiting grinder.
Recruiting is
probably the biggest grind of them all.
Recruiting sucks.
Let me just tell you, it sucks. I think when we think of a grinder, we think of like a coach in like
looking at film, sleeping in the office. Yeah.
Or like, I picture him like next to the sled, like, no, Johnson, it's down, up, down, again.
Like, no.
Yeah, like,
you're worthless.
You're terrible. Again, up, downs, till we puke. Like, when you think of football grinders, that's what we think. Like up 4 a.m. watching film, blah, 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 by the sled, yelling at a guy. You know what's also grinding? They talked about in the story. He takes 2 hours. Like on Sundays, he has like, okay, for the next hour, I'm calling high school coaches. For the next hour after that, I'm calling junior college. Whatever. Like that's grinding too. So I just want to make sure I don't want to dismiss. Like we act like recruiting's out there. Like you're eating like shrimp. Like, what's that?
Recruiting sucks. Yeah. It's a party today. We're recruiting.
I love recruiting. I don't know why you would be eating shrimp.
Oh, that's terrible.
So stupid. Okay, couple of things. Mickey in his press conference yesterday. That's a terrible. Why? I just pictured him eating like shrimp cocktail.
I have no idea.
Like recruiting's great. I eat all the shrimp I want.
Oh, this is the best.
You know, so again, Casey Thompson, elbow, nerve, day-to-day. We'll see what happens. Again, the line would indicate he's probably out. I will say, I'm not sure if you got to watch the press conference yesterday. Mickey Joseph's thoughts on Chubba Purdy weren't great.
No.
Well, he talked about
how... He wasn't seeing it, right?
Didn't well, he yeah, and he said, he goes, Chubba's one of those guys, he's got to settle down, he's got to breathe, he can't let the emotions take over. He's the guy, you got to talk to him after every play. You got to tell him, like, hey, you're doing good with that, you're seeing that, you're doing a great job of this. He said he's nervous and just needs to settle down. And
Mickey just lays it out there, doesn't he?
I heard that, and I was like, That's not the most glowing review of Chubba.
Chubba's not my guy right now, I'll tell you that much.
Because for me, like, quarterbacks got to be confident in themselves. They got to project confidence to others. They got to have poise. Like, you don't want to have to be coaching up confidence with your quarterback and calming the emotions of your quarterback. That should be what the quarterback does to the team. A good quarterback gives the team confidence, and he calms everybody else down.
Yeah.
So, like, I read... As Mickey was saying that, I was just like, ooh, this is not the greatest.
Yeah, Chubba's not inspiring confidence in me right
now. No, I know. That's what's hard is like you contrast how he played in that second half then with what Mickey explained on like elaborating on Chubba. You're like, ooh, man, yikes. Yeah. I don't want to, you know, dismiss the guy too much, but I heard that and thought,
I mean, it was pretty obvious. He had happy feet. He was throwing the ball. He couldn't hit anything, and he was just... Yeah, he just seemed like he was out of sorts that last game.
Right. You know, he talked about how... A couple of things I just want to bang through here. He talked about Logan Smothers as more of an option guy and more of a runner. Can I say, and I think you've been with me on this, everybody acts like Logan Smothers is this amazing runner. And I'm like, okay.
I haven't seen him, like... turn one loose yet. So to me, it's like, you know, I think he was like a pretty good track guy.
He's a great track guy, but I just don't.
But he hasn't shown me like, you know, Eric Crouchness at all. Like, show me the elusiveness. Show me, like, he does. He's kind of, you know,
he's kind of quick.
He's quick, but like quick in like make somebody break somebody's back with a scramble. You know, run that option and. Take one for 80. Let me see you move. Like, let's, you know, he's had enough snaps where I think it's about time to see that elusiveness.
Sam McEwen has had numerous comments where he's like, I think there's Logan Smothers might be the fastest quarterback since Taylor Martinez. And I'm just like, I mean,
was a burner.
He's not even in the fucking vicinity of Taylor Martinez. No. I could argue he's not as fast as peak Adrian. Peak Adrian could move.
I mean, he should be faster than Adrian.
Adrian
wasn't a track guy. He was a 0 to 40, but not like a 40 to 100.
I guess I'm just, for me, I hear all this stuff about how Smothers is this, like he's a runner, bro. Bro, you seen Smothers run?
I gotta get your
popcorn ready. I'm like, I mean.
We gotta see it, man.
Kind of.
Some guys are faster on the field than others.
Right.
And I don't know if he's...
Some guys are track fast. Yeah. You know, they get in shorts and a tank top and run on a track. And then there's some guys that are football fast.
Yeah. I think a lot of that is... There's like a vision thing. I think the best, fastest guys on the field, it's vision. They see the field. Like, they see the holes. They know, even with defense. There's, like, dudes that I always say were, like, linebackers. They were the slowest guy on the track. But on the field, They just see it and they get to
it. Well,
I
would say your brother was a little like that. Like, your brother's not necessarily the fastest guy. Like, you line up and run, but like, Barrett had great, he was so efficient with like his movements. Yes. And he just like, he saw it, he hit it, and he was there.
And he was great, like 10 to 20 yards every single direction, he was faster than anybody.
Right.
10 to 20.
Right.
Now, if you had to sprint for 40,
probably wasn't going to be too fast. But yeah, so it's there's just, you know, fast can come in a lot of shapes and sizes. And I'm not trying to shit on Logan Smothers. I guess I'm just, everybody acts like he's this amazing runner. And I just like, I want to see it. I'm not saying he's a bad runner. He's certainly not a bad runner. But I have yet to see a Logan Smothers run that I'm like, whoo.
I want to, yeah, I'm not going to rule him out yet, but. Yeah, I don't know.
Because I'm kind of intrigued.
Would you go Chubb or Logan?
That's what I was just going to ask you. What's hard is, based on what I saw, of course I would go with Logan.
Right now, Smothers seems way safer to me than Chubba. But obviously, we haven't been there every day. Chubba has earned that second string with what he's Whipple's guy.
Right.
But he's also, he's got happy feet.
Well, and right, I mean, what's hard too is like, what gives this offense the best chance for success? Is it still trying to hit the big plays over in the passing game? Or do you got to become a little unique and all of a sudden have this quarterback run game element that is, I don't know. I really don't know the answer to that question. That's a rock and a hard place.
But it's also, this is Whipple's offense now, and it's not Frost at all. So to me, it's the farther we get away from Frost, probably the less it's catered to Smothers.
That's why I still think it's going to be Chubba. Like, I my guess is Chubba's still the dude.
I do too. I think that's probably right.
Real quick, can I be grouchy about something? You know, there's certain cliches in sports that people throw up all the time. Like, I've never, like, and Mickey has used this a couple times, and a bunch of people do, the whole, like, we have a next man up mentality. Like, I don't even really know what that means. Like, I've never loved that cliche because it's one of those, like, we have a next man up mentality. Like, what, I mean, like, as if that's, like, really unpack next man up mentality.
So,
what does that mean?
I have a little different policy. It's if one guy goes down, we pretty much give up.
Right.
We wave the white flag.
I guess that's what I'm saying. Like, to me, we have a next man up mentality would insinuate that there's also a mentality out there that is like, we develop one player at every position, and if that person goes down, we do not have a chance.
We pretty much give up.
I don't. Like, I just have never, like, man, it's a next man up sort of philosophy. It's like, well,
that's one of those obvious.
It's like, well, yeah.
Yeah. Everybody does.
Everybody has a whim next man up here. It's just that's how we do it at this place. Like, what do you mean by that?
Maybe it'd be better. Cause the issue is not that we have a next man up, like the next guy's obviously going to be playing. But maybe it'd be better to be like, we don't rattle based on who's in it. You know, like, cause sometimes people lose confidence if their best players aren't out there. I think it's more about, do we lose collective confidence?
Maybe
if
that's
we,
I like that.
You know what I'm saying?
With that. Yeah.
That is a better way to say it.
And maybe that's what next man up mentality means.
But nobody describes it.
But no. But next man up mentality seems to insinuate what we're saying. Like we
don't play if our best player gets
hurt. If our guy goes down, we got no chance because we have not developed the next man.
Yeah, I think that it's...
I've just
it's,
never... That's one of those nails... You know, there's certain cliches you hear, like, that's a nails on the chalkboard
it's never
for me.
It's never described.
What
is
does
why.
That even mean?
Because I think that, to me, what you want is a team that doesn't lose confidence no matter who's playing.
Right.
But that's a different... That's specific. That's confidence. It's about confidence.
Yes. By the way, you bring up... Sorry, I just wanted to rant on that for a second. I will say, you bring up the quarterback thing, Smothers or Chubba Purdy. We've talked a lot about how, like, there's an element of this coaching audition for Mickey that it's hard to get a real feel for a lot of different things on how he would be as a head coach. I will say, like, his handling of the quarterback situation is a little bit of a glimpse into how he is as a head coach. And, like, and sometimes, you know, you have two bad options.
Yeah.
And maybe that's it. But I will say, like, we do now have two moments where I felt like Mickey's handling of the quarterbacks hasn't been great. Mm-hmm. The move to pull Casey Thompson in the Indiana game almost cost them the game.
Yeah.
And then, in my opinion, everything with the quarterbacks against Illinois was puzzling and disjointed. You go with Logan in the first half, then Chuba the rest of the game. You kept Chuba in when he was clearly struggling. The fact that Mickey told the sideline reporter that they were going with Logan at halftime, and then they come out and they go with Chuba for the rest of the game. Like, I'm just saying, like, in terms of, we act like there's nothing. How can we tell? Like, this is an example of, like, head coaching decisions that have been like, eh.
Yeah, I mean, think about Nick Saban at halftime of the national championship game puts in Tua.
Yeah.
That seemed crazy almost until the guy was absolutely the right guy to bring it. Like, that's a really high level intuitive decision.
Yes.
And that is on the head coach. The head coach makes that call. I know Whipple probably had a big hand in wanting Purdy out there, but in the end, that's Mickey's responsibility too. So I think these are learning things Mickey's probably going through, but that is telling, like, this is what, like, it's not as easy as you think sometimes to be the head coach. You got to make those decisions.
And what's interesting is I think one of the first things he said initially was like, I'm going to let Whip do his thing. Like, I'm not going to micromanage Whip. But it's weird. He was willing to micromanage the defense. He was willing to fire Chenander, make big changes to the defense, whereas the offense, he seems like he's really letting, like, it seems like everything that's happening with the offense is all Whip. The Nick Bob Podcast is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors, and I want to talk to you guys about energy efficiency. And if you go onto Pella's website right now, you look at it, and how about this? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different types of windows or doors. By Pella, won the Energy Star 2020 Most Energy Efficient Award. That's big time stuff right there. And they achieved that in a couple of waves. They got insulated glass, which slows the heat transfer, keeping your home at a more comfortable temperature. They got types of low E glass, which is a glass coating that has been optimized for your climate. They got triple pane glass, which you can upgrade to for increased insulating airspace. And within all of that, one of the keys is proper installation, which is key for window and doors to perform at their best. And you know the Pella experts are excellent at that. Bottom line, energy efficiency matters in making your home more comfortable, and Pella Windows and Doors are at the top of the line when it comes to energy efficiency. Check them out online, PellaOmaha.com. That's PellaOmaha.com.
Well, yeah, but it's
also...
So
there seems like there's a reluctance for him to flex his muscle. And that's a hard thing as an interim head coach. Like, how much do you want to come in and micromanage and demand certain things happen a certain way? There's a balance there, and this is where this is why head coaching's hard. Where do you draw the line on letting your coaches coach with, you know, coming in with a heavy hand and saying, no, we're going to do this?
Yeah, that's where being the guy that knows everything makes it easier versus, like, if you can't call the plays yourself and you don't got somebody else that you trust to call more, you're kind of at the mercy of the guy that can do it.
Yes.
You know, and this is where Whip is like, it's Whip's offense. Whip wants his quarterback. He says, I need this guy. This guy can't do what I want to do. That's where it gets tough when it's not your thing.
Yes. So it's just interesting. I was thinking about that. And
yeah,
it's an interesting thing to kind of observe through Mickey. Like,
this is
these
part
are the
of
things.
The coaching, the obstacles of being the head coach and in this moment for Mickey. Like, this is part of that trial by fire type of thing.
All right. Minnesota coming to town. Again, we told you the favorite by 16. That line tells me that they don't, that Vegas thinks Casey Thompson is not going to play.
Yeah, obviously. They had a guy.
And they do. They got a guy somewhere that's mopping. He's got the mop out and he's cleaning something.
Hey, Casey, that looks uncomfortable. Is that elbow? Oh, gosh.
But Minnesota, defensively, this team's very similar to Illinois. Like, they're fourth in scoring defense, sixth in passing yards allowed, seventh in total defense, 16th in rush defense. So, like, it's a top 10 defense coming to town. Mm-hmm. I'm not so sure that when healthy, I think Mo Ibrahim, or Ibrahim, however you say his name, is a better runner than Chase Brown. Like, that Minnesota's running back is...
He was. I think he hasn't
been
the same.
He's lost a little bit of his...
I don't think he's been the same since he had that... I think
the Achilles.
Achilles is brutal.
Brutal.
That sucks. I mean, that sucks for him because...
It's one of my biggest reasons I don't play basketball anymore.
Oh, dude, I know.
Because, like, I just feel like if I went out there and played basketball, I would pop my Achilles immediately. That's what it feels like.
And now imagine being a running back and trying to be the same guy a year later. Like, that's just, I don't know that you're ever the same. That poor guy, he probably should have went pro.
Right.
He came back. It's, that's the example. And then now it's like, now he's on his like sixth year of college, and
that's why
he just doesn't look the same. He's not going to get paid now. I'm telling you.
That's why I usually am slow to criticize people that do go pro, because like of this, like at any moment you can get hurt and everything's different. But,
especially if you're running back. Good Lord.
Offensively, Minnesota's 12th in rushing offense. They're averaging 222 yards per game. Listen, you know what PJ Fleck's going to do. Yeah. They're physical as hell on defense. They're going to run the ball. They're going to control the clock. They're going to chew the play clock. It's going to be about very similar to almost every other game. But
to an extreme, I mean, they've done it to an extreme against us.
Yes.
I mean, the 2020 COVID game
was unbelievable.
It was unbelievable. We had the advantage. Right. Everybody knew it. And Fleck ran down the play clock to one or two seconds. It was a clinic in how to manage a win.
Right.
And that to him now is the playbook. He did it to us again last year. He's going to do that to an extreme again this year. And if we don't see that and prepare for like the absolute ball control victory that they're going to try to come after us. Like, we're stupid. Like, we can't let them hold the ball longer than us.
It's weird how a week ago I sat here and I predicted Nebraska to beat Illinois. And now here I'm a week later and I am terrified that this game's going to get out of hand. And now, in my defense, it's the Casey factor. Like,
no Casey equals danger, danger, danger.
For sure. I mean, just because if there's no Casey Thompson, just you close your eyes and really try to envision how this offense scores, sustains drives. Like, they had a hard time doing that with Casey.
Mm-hmm.
They had to rely on these 70-yard bombs and all this stuff. Like, without Casey Thompson, I don't know how they're going to be able to move the ball, score. And then I think what we just talked about, how Minnesota really wants to control the ball, like, that's now just going to get, there's even, That's going to be a domino effect to the bad, where Minnesota's going to really dominate the time of possession. I'm nervous that Saturday's rough. And I got a lot of respect for Fleck.
I do too. I think he does a good job. It's going to be a tough one for us. It really is. But, you know, also, if it's not Casey, Chubba and Smothers are going to get the real reps during the week, which help. I mean, that
for
does
sure.
help. You get to be with the top unit. I mean, it's a different experience. So that should help preparing. You know, you should always prepare like you're going to play, but you really like you're the guy. Like it's different as a quarterback, I'm sure. So that should help. But you know, Whip's got to help. This is Whip's week. You know what? Whip is earning his money this week. You know
yes.
why? This is a good defense. You got a backup quarterback in. You better manage this situation correctly. Every throw needs to be a manageable throw. Run the ball a lot. You got to manufacture drives. Not just points, drives. We got to keep the ball. We got to keep our defense off the field, keep the ball, manufacture drives.
Does Nebraska chew clock?
Yes.
Yeah,
we got to play that game as well as Minnesota's
right.
going to, right? Because that will keep our defense fresh. Our defense fresh, I think, will be fine if we're fresh.
Yeah.
If it gets long, Minnesota will take those big old Minnesotan offensive linemen and they'll run, you know, zones. They'll get wide on us. That's what they've done the last couple of years. They want to run wide, get our people flowing and find holes, and then boots. And
yep.
They have nice little, like, you know, counters off of that. So they've done that for 4 years. We have never played it well. I'm going to say this is a Whip. This is Whip's moneymaker to me. Like, Whip will tell me a lot about how he can manage, especially in a college game. Can
right.
you manage and manufacture this game? Because this is on him a lot.
Now, the one thing he could have going for him is, like, I know he's a guy that probably doesn't want to run the option or run the quarterback a ton, but Nebraska maybe does have a little bit of the element of surprise going for them, where, like, all of a sudden you can throw in Smothers and have a package that's different, or even we act like Chubba can't run. Chubba can run a little bit.
Chubba can run.
So I think they need to get something out of the legs of Chuba or Smothers to be the kind of that unexpected thing that produces offensively.
Like if we let's say hypothetically we run 60 plays.
Right.
I wouldn't mind seeing like 2/3 of those be runs.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Then 1/3 of them are like safe passes or like take a shot.
Take a
Trey.
Shot.
Right?
Like, take a play action, send Trey deep, see what you got.
The amount of like drop back passes I want to see Chuba and Smothers throw out of the pocket, just like read the defense, make a throw across the middle. Like I'm just like drop back, protect with five. I'm like, no, I don't want to see much of it.
What's hard is, I mean,
you got to do it maybe occasionally, but like not much.
Based on what I've seen throughout this year, I would think taking on Mark Whipple in Tecmo Bowl would be very easy. You just would choose the shotgun deep shot. You have 6 plays to choose from.
I'm picking one of the passes. I'm never picking a run. Out of the 4 runs, never.
You are choosing one of the deep bombs.
Yep.
What a concept.
I never would choose run the dive. You know, this is the straight dive. I always like the pitches or the
bounces. The gut. Up the gut was hard.
Up the gut, never chose.
But if you could, you had to run some to the outside. Drew, growing up playing video games and football, you were totally more prone to toss sweeps than anything wide.
You like wide. Up the middle didn't really work in video games. It was just like, there's nothing there. But wide. Wide was always there. Hey, no matter how many times you ran wide, it would always be open.
Growing up, it was wide pitches and then shots deep. Like
the shallow cross didn't exist. Shallow cross did not exist.
Shallow crosser? Never.
Come
on, what were you thinking?
Never.
You know?
So I haven't played Madden since I think middle of 2005, 2006. Like those were the years I used to play in college. But like by then it was getting pretty like
elaborate, right?
Yeah, like you'd have the quarterback vision. Yeah. I don't even know what they do now, but like it was pretty impressive by that point.
I feel like football video game, this is me, like I have not played a video football game. For some reason, I went to college and I stopped playing video games.
I was after college, done. Shut it off.
I was like, beer?
Yeah.
Parties? I'm going to do that instead.
But we would drink beer while we played video games.
I know, I was like.
Before you'd go out, you'd play.
I was listening to
man.
Like P. Diddy, you know, doing my thing.
You were doing lots of things.
I was doing a lot of ridiculous things, but I don't, football game, football, I feel like the football games got to where they were too hard for me. Like, well, I like the
that's what
easier.
I'm saying. They got pretty complex. I mean, because you played Nintendo 64.
Yes, I played Madden on 64.
And that was starting
I played
to
a little
get...
bit of NCAA Football 2001 on PlayStation.
Yeah, I think.
I created a team. I was Arizona. And I played a season, and my brother played a season. And we met in the national championship game.
Oh, baby.
And he kicked my ass. And I was... I was like holding back tears. I was so mad. I was in high school. My quarterback, Will Holla.
Oh, God, that's right.
He won the Heisman.
Oh, God. That was back when basically everything you did, we'd all just crush you.
Yes,
because
there's
always, you'd have the guy named Will Holla.
I had Will Holla. My receiver was Darius Ruck. I had a defensive lineman named Bam Bam. And I was undefeated. Will Holla won the Heisman. Alex was Nebraska, my brother. We played in the title game. He beat me, and I was devastated. Because I thought he was cheating and looking at my plays. You know, that sibling. Like, what is it about? Nobody can make you more upset than your brother.
They know how
to cut to you.
They know it. Because they've been doing it forever, so then it always bothers you more.
Like, you, right now, I bet you would know exactly how to irritate Barrett instantly.
More than anybody in the world.
And he probably would know how to get to your ribs a little bit, too.
Yes.
I don't think people understand. We've told the story about you two yelling at each other in the huddle of the state championship game, right?
I think so.
That's still an all-time.
But that's a thing that only brothers would do.
Overtime. People need to know. So overtime, Creighton Prep, state championship game. This would have been 2000.
Yeah.
Barrett's a senior. We're sophomores. And people would understand, the backfield in that game was Nick Bott quarterback, Bo Root at fullback.
6'3", 180 pounds with a neck roll.
You had a neck roll. You were this little straw. I mean, I was skinny. I can't pot kettle here, but like from a fullback, you know.
But Barrett was 6'2", 230.
And Barrett's just fucking tank.
And I was 6'3", 180, and I was the fullback.
You were like, I feel like you weren't like battering ram guys on ice. You would kind of like try to like get in the way of people.
I was
like,
just too, I didn't you were have too any little. Muscles.
Then, yeah. But so anyways, the backfield is me at quarterback, Bo at fullback, Barrett at running back. We get into overtime because we go into double overtime with Creighton Prep, and
Barrett tried to bounce.
So we run a jet sweep with Rigoni.
Yeah,
Brandon Rigoni gets down to like the 2 yard line. We run a counter sweep, I believe. I might have been ISO. I can't remember what it was. And Barrett tried to bounce it. He had the video game football mentality.
Go wide.
He tried to bounce it from the 2 yard line and got like a 5 yard loss.
Yeah,
and. You going back to the huddle? You
tell Barrett's the best football player in the state of Nebraska
by a mile,
and his little brother, 6'3", 180, with a neck roll that just started playing fullback the week before, says, "I think I told him, just run it up in there, get upfield." Like I'm he was critical. Like, oh,
Barrett, you can't do that. Get it up, get there, up, run the it up field, there. Yeah. And Barrett, who people understand, Barrett was pretty. Like, you and Barrett are very similar in a game. You guys are pretty calm. Like, you guys are never going to get, like, too high or too low. Barrett, he turned to you. He was like, shut the fuck up. Shut up. And it's like, you two are...
Lost it on me.
He's screaming at you. I'm in the huddle having to be like, guys.
That's just what he needed, though. I was a little brother motivating.
It was a little. It was just amazing. He was like, "Oh, Barrett, you can't do that."
I think I would say that. I mean, I knew I
would. You have said that.
I'd
like,
say it to him, and Emmett Smith. I don't know that I would say it to like anybody else. But I'd maybe tell Emmett too.
I will say. I mean, I thought it. Like, I couldn't believe he bounced it.
Because
Barrett was this big man. It's like just hammered.
It was like one thought, bad decision.
It was
that
like
day,
second and two from. Second and goal from the two. Yeah. Like in my mind, I'm like, we just are running it up the gut twice and we're in there.
Yeah.
And Barrett bounces it and gets it to the 7.
But the next play, Nick Boss the next saves play, today. The galloping ghost runs it in.
We run a counter sweep pass. You kind of sealed a guy.
But Nick Baugh.
That was a deer crossing I-80.
The deer was running. And
they knew some up, you know, when they hold up signs for plays. They held up the deer crossing the deer, sign, and you'd be like, Nick,
I got you.
All right, bootleg,
it is
run.
One of my favorite moments in all of sports, though. Like, Nick Baugh, like, because somebody, like, posted that. I can't remember who posted the like, a little video clip of it. This was maybe last year, and I hadn't seen that clip, and it just makes me so happy to watch. As much as you're a basketball guy and you've had about 50 of those like great shots or last second shots growing up that we always, you know, like game winners. But your greatest your greatest sports moment is that. Like your all-time greatest play in the history of your life. In all sports, was that play?
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
That's it.
That was it. It was a 7 yard run to win the state title.
But that's it. That's the dream. That's the dream play as a kid. Is you make the play to win the state, and you made it. Even though you're a basketball guy, your play was in football.
And what's cool about it? People, I don't know if they care about this. What was cool about it is like the backfield is me, you, Barrett, Jake Mielheisen's out at wide receiver, and when I score, you seal a guy, and Jake holds a guy off.
Yeah.
So like our boys, like, and I pop it in, like it was amazing. But you talk about, you know, reacting like act like you've been there before. My reaction was like, has this guy ever scored a touchdown in his life?
That's why I liked it.
Going crazy, hand warmers are flying out of
my
pouch.
Imagine if you would have done some like stupid TikTok dance or something. Like it would have ruined the whole moment. You were just like
I couldn't believe it.
You were in elation. Heaven,
oh, to the umpteenth degree.
That's what was so beautiful about it. It was the perfect moment.
By the way, I as we're continuing to talk about Barrett, I will say this. Can we rip on him for a second in that, like, first of all, you know what I miss was Snick. Saturday nights at the Rude's house. For people that of our age will remember, Snick was Nickelodeon every Friday night. It was, what was it, Doug, Ren and Stimpy, all that, and Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Yes.
That's a hell of a lineup, boy.
Great lineup. The big orange couch. That was a
yeah, which
a
big is an thing. And so we would go up in your at your house. You had a big green couch. I spent the night every Saturday for like
2 years
for a and then I would sleep. Bo and Barrett shared a room. They had single beds, and I would sleep on the floor in between the two.
He's like, this is great. You'd be like, this is great.
But the reason I want to rip on Barrett. So Barrett would usually join us for Doug, Ren and Stimpy, all that. Because then what we would do is we'd go play for a little bit and then we'd come back for Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, yeah.
Barrett, for Are You Afraid of the Dark, would always be like, I gotta go check on something. And he would go.
He found a way to miss Are You Afraid of the Dark.
So Mr. All-Time Tackle Leader, cool guy, was afraid of Are You Afraid of the Dark, show.
We'll never let that down with him either.
He'll
never hear the end of it. We make fun of him about that a few times a year at least.
I was thinking about this the other day. Do you think the most fun, now fun comes in, fun just evolves as you get older. But I really think the most fun I've ever had in my life was probably between like 6th and 8th grade. Just fun.
It's like, funny you said that.
Fun.
It's funny you say that. I was reading about this.
We'll give a Minnesota prediction in a second here. Yeah. We've got over.
So I was reading about this. This old dude basically said, like, he says most people, when they say, what's the best, you know, what's the best moment, like in yes. the last, how you know, 50 years, and everybody will have their different time. It was this was the greatest. And he goes, if you look back when they say that, well, the 60s are best, the 70s, the 80s, whoever they are, it's usually when they're like between 10 and 12.
Right.
Because that is the moment in your life where you are finally able to understand the world a little bit.
Enough.
But you're young enough where you have no responsibility.
Zero worries.
So it's the perfect intersection of you're young enough to just have fun and not have to worry about big world problems, but you're old enough to get things. Like, you get friendships. You can do more.
Right.
You're out there. You get to do things but have no responsibility.
That's what
it hits all in that 10 to 12, which is what? 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th grade, and you're just like, right. We're just doing it.
That it's exactly what it's the peak of no responsibilities, whether it's fabricated or not, because we create these things in high school that we think are a big deal that aren't, but yeah. It's all relative. Like, if you think it's a big deal, then it's a big deal. Like, I just was thinking about that the other day. I'm like, I think the most fun I've ever had, because it was just the absent, it was only fun, it was not thinking about anything else,
yes.
Other than I was totally present, totally immersed in playing video games, football,
sports,
basketball,
fun.
Eating fast food.
In a weird way, like after 12, 13, women then come into the
that's
play.
That's what I say. Like, I think then all of a sudden you're like, you know what I want? I need a woman.
I know I've been alive for 13 years and I really haven't noticed, but what are those things?
Have you guys seen
these
other people
girls?
At school? They're called girls.
These girls, all of a sudden, they're there, and I think I like them. And once you start thinking about girls, you get it's a whole nother set of pressures,
a whole set of stresses,
yeah,
of
like
worries.
It becomes more real,
right?
Like before, girls, before. You know,
you didn't care about what you wore. I would show up in your house unshowered, have it like the idea of like doing my hair, like doing something to my hair. I would show up in basketball shorts, a Southeast basketball t-shirt or Michael Jordan or whatever t-shirt, and wouldn't give it. I didn't care what I looked like, whatever it was. Yes,
it was.
But then all of a sudden it was
why it was so fun. Cause then we'd be like, you know what we should do today? We should go to Irving and play, get the guys together. We're going to play football. Then the next day we're going to play home run derby. You got to hit it over the house. You know, that's what we did, and it was the best.
It was the best. I just was, I truthfully don't think I ever had, that's not to say I don't have fun now, and it's not to say I didn't have fun in college or I didn't have fun in high school.
It's different kinds of fun.
It's a different kind of fun. The most pure fun I've ever had in my life was between fifth, sixth grade to about eighth grade.
That's it. It was just, it was the, yeah, the purest form.
It's the purest form. And then all of a sudden, like you said, I think a big part of it is girls.
Girls, sports,
what if girls are the same
pressure.
Way? Would the girls say the same thing? Like,
the girls care about boys earlier than the boys care about girls.
Right.
Usually. I don't know.
I wonder if girls felt like that, because we made a concerted effort that, like,
I don't think they had as much fun as we had. Because they were kind of caring about boys. We didn't care about. I mean, when I say we didn't care about, we did not even think.
The thought of hanging out with girls when you're in sixth or seventh grade, that's so stupid. You're when like, I tell, when my
like,
kids.
Do they play football? Like, no. Like, sorry. You're not getting the invite.
That's so true. Well, what are they going to, what are we going to do with them?
Are they going to play third base?
Do they know how to play 21?
Yeah.
Well, they don't?
I mean,
I mean, honestly, it was like to hang out with us, you would have had to have been able to play football, baseball, basketball.
Football, baseball, basketball, video games, or Mario Kart.
Video, like, then like Nintendo 64, Super Nintendo, Nintendo. Or, and then you need to be able to like go eat fast food and then just like rip on everybody.
Rip on each other and potentially do dumb.
Like, get an idea of, like, what if we...
Dumb things that you...
Yes, that are...
Go get mischievous about.
Yes. So that's true. It's like, what, are we going to invite those girls over? It's like, do they play football? No. Well, what are we going to do with them?
Sorry. No invite.
Amazing. Okay, I think Nebraska's going to lose to Minnesota, unfortunately. It's not in your... You do not have the powers to actually... predict it. You're incapable.
I'm going to say... They got a chance. All right.
Who knows? But I would lean. I mean, the spread's 16, for crying out loud.
Old Whipple. I'm excited to see what old whip. Is he going to let it whip?
Is he going to let it whip, or is he not going to let it whip? I don't know. But
or is he going to get whipped?
He might. You're going to let it whip, or you're going to get whipped is the whip? Question. Oh, my God. Okay, we got to get out of here.
I wish we had our music. We got to play.
I know we could play some
whip. We got to play Let It Whip Out. Okay.
I know. We'll do that next time. You said you have a song for next time, too, that gets me excited.
Yeah, next Wine Pod.
Next Wine Pod, we'll do that. Okay, well, there you have it. I want to go. Can we get in a time machine and go be, like, 11 years old again?
Let's do it. Let's hop in.
Let's go.